Welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. These are conversations with Grand Valley State University film and video graduates about the industry, the film video major, and alumni profiles.
Hello, and welcome to Alumni Live, the podcast. My name is Caitlin Shaw, and I'm a senior in the film and video program specializing in directing. Today, we're talking about pitching. Odds are most filmmakers will make a pitch at some point in their lives, whether it's in front of a room full of Netflix executives, or you're just texting a friend about the film you want to make during the summer. And if you're listening to this podcast, you might just be getting ready to pitch in one of your classes. While our conversation today can be applied to all forms of pitching, for today's episode, we will be primarily focusing on pitching as it relates to the Fiction Filmmaking 1 and 2 courses as of 2025 when we're recording this. Basically, if you want to direct in those classes, you have to pitch in front of the class. Within the first few weeks of the class, there's pitch day, where everyone who wants to pitch gets 5 minutes to do so, followed by a brief Q&A. After that, everyone in the class votes for their favorite ideas, and the four ideas with the most votes gets picked to be made that semester. To get started, we should probably say a bit of our experiences in Fiction 1 and 2, and what kind of films we pitched and if we got picked. Now that I've given some context, I would like to introduce our incredibly talented guests, Cam Lason and Caroline Hamilton.
So I pitched in both Fiction 1 and 2. I did not get picked in Fiction 1. We can talk about why later. But in Fiction 1, I pitched a story I wrote in my script writing 1 class. It was called Conformity. It was about two girls moving into an apartment in New York. So it was focusing a little bit on LGBT stories. And then in Fiction 2, I was very lucky to get picked. And my story was called What to Do With You. And it was Blade Runner 2049 style, where an assassin ends up finding a baby left in an apartment, where she just did a job and she has to figure out what to do with it. So yeah.
Nice. I'll go now. Hi, I'm Cam, by the way. I was going to mention, like, you practice pitching in script 1, which gets you ready for fiction. Just like the idea of pitching a story, but pitching something that you're actually going to make in Fiction 1 and 2 is a little different. And I was fortunate enough to get picked for Fiction 1 and 2, like Caitlin. So the first thing I pitched was called Breach. I was just making a little horror short in a school about a brother looking for his brother. And then in Fiction 2, I pitched Metal, which is about killing a demon with a guitar. I just thought that'd be cool.
I was very lucky. I pitched and got picked in both Fiction 1 and 2. In Fiction 1, I pitched a film called Babel, which was about a girl who got covered with paper with all her anxious thoughts on them, and it grew, and it was a metaphor for, like, anxiety. And then in Fiction 2, I pitched a period piece called If You Die, I'll Kill You, which was about a mom and daughter disagreeing politically during the Vietnam era.
You guys have such profound good reasons for making your movies. And I'm just like, I just want to make a demon costume. I want to put a saw on a guitar. And I even, like, in my pitch, I was like, I don't have a reason. I just want to do this really bad, you guys.
Well, that's important too, though, because, like, you don't need to have the most profound story ever, which I guess leads me into my next point, which is, I feel like we're all people who prepare for pitching very differently. So, Cam, I want to start with you, because particularly with Metal, didn't you decide you were going to pitch, like, the day of or, like, the night before?
Yeah, it was the night before. I was so on the fence because I was having a rough summer. I knew I wanted to direct again because I had so much fun directing Reach, but I could not come up with something that I was passionate enough about. And I feel like that's, I'll get to this later too. I feel like the best pitches come from if you are just super passionate and super believe in what your story is, that will come through in the pitch. And so I didn't want to pitch if I didn't have anything that I really cared about. To me, it was like other people have ideas that they really care about, they're really passionate about. I don't really have that. But then the day before pitches were, I just met up with some friends. I was with, like, Nevin and Irene, I think. I don't know. We had a little writer's room. We were there because Irene was going to pitch her thing. So we were just all there to help each other with that. And just while we're there, just hanging out with people, I start brainstorming out loud. And we come up with the idea for Metal in 15 minutes. And right away, I'm like, yeah, I really like this idea. Now I'm on it. I want to do this. I really want to make this thing. That same night, I made a pitch deck for it. I had the vibe in my head and I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing. I literally, like, the day of whenever I'm supposed to pitch, I have this bulleted list of my name, where I'm from, what's the story I want to tell, what's the ending, and then give a why. And while I'm pitching, I always keep in my mind, like, okay, let's just get people excited about making this thing. Let's make this sound like it's going to be really fun to, like, make the movie. So I'm like, I'm going to need a really good production designer and great sound engineer, because this is all about music. And at the beginning of my pitch, I played a little bit of a Metal song just to get people thinking what I'm thinking. And then, yeah, just like hyping people up. If you're a really good production designer, I want you on my thing. And then people are like, okay, yeah, I want to do some awesome production design. And then people get excited about making it. And then you just find your people who want to make cool stuff with you.
You of all people, speaking as someone who has seen you pitch 3 times now, I think you're the best pitcher that I saw in our classes. You just have such an infectious energy. Nobody wants to make a film that the director doesn't want to make. And you just go up there and like, you could make a film about paint drying and I would want to make it with you because you would go up there and you would be like, this is the best paint ever and I'm excited to make it. I'm going to popcorn it over to CK now because I know you have a bit more methodical process when it comes to prepping for pitching. So what does that look like for you?
Yeah, I definitely have a little bit of a different process and it's something I've gotten better at over time. When I first got to Grand Valley, I thought I wanted to write, but then end of my script writing class freshman year, I was like, oh yeah, this is what I want to do. But public speaking has never really been my thing. I get super nervous. I forget what I'm doing. Many people can probably relate to that. I remember in script one, I knew what I wanted with the script, but it's so hard to figure out what is necessary information to share with people. Because I know for myself as a writer, when I'm writing, everything that I'm putting into that script is important to me. There's a reason it is happening. And when you have 5 minutes, you don't have the time to go page by page and be like, this is the story and this is why this is happening. And so you have to slowly figure out what is necessary to share. And so when I pitched in Fiction One, I was very nervous. I was made to go last because I think the professor knew I get nervous. I'm not saying he did it intentionally, but I managed to stay under 5 minutes, surprisingly. But I got really nervous and I couldn't figure out in my head what was important to share. And so I don't think people really understood what I was trying to do. And so I wasn't really surprised when I didn't get picked. But by not getting picked, that gave me the opportunity to not only watch other people pitch that went on to direct or just talking about their stuff in general. It let me see kind of what were they doing that I could improve on when I came back in Fiction 2. And also just doing research, I talked to some writers in the industry and I went, how do I pitch? I don't know what I'm doing. And so I figured out I just needed to find my own process of there's not a rule, there's not a way you have to do it. It's just what makes it easier for you. And I also learned through watching people as well, at least in the film program, the ideas that end up getting picked usually are ones where people are A, really passionate about them, or there's something flashy about them that gets people's attention. And so I, as a writer, have a tendency to write very grounded stuff. I like things that are very internal turmoil, like the characters or emotions are what's driving it. And so I really had to figure out what were things that would get people's attention and make me excited. And so I ended up pitching What to Do with You, like I said. And the thing that really, I think, got people's attention with that is I thought, we've done sci-fis where people are just running around fighting, trying to survive in dystopia. But what's something we haven't seen before? And so I was like, you just found a baby in an apartment and it's there and wow, what? And then pretty lights and colors. And then in Fiction 2, we were also allowed to use pitch decks, which helped me too, because I could illustrate what I wanted. So if I forgot what I was saying, I could go look at the screen. So I think that my process has definitely evolved over time because I also took script writing too this past semester. But the more you sit with it and figure it out and then learning what are the important bits to share with people. So my senior thesis project right now is called Philia, and it's about this boy with depression who meets this nymph in the woods and then just befriends her. And that story was important to me. It has a piece that I'm interested in, which is that internal turmoil, but also has another piece. There's this new idea of Greek mythology being introduced. And also, I've been super passionate about it, and I know every little detail, but I know what's important to share with people to get their attention.
I definitely relate to you on the struggle of wanting to tell every little detail. I usually like write a draft of the script before I pitch. For me, it helps me out if I can see my story. But then my issue is, oh, I have to explain every single beat that happens, but you just don't have time for that. So usually what I do is once I have my script done, I know I want to pitch. I type out, like if I was just explaining this, what was everything I would say? And then I read through it and I time it. And then usually I'm like, oh, that was 10 minutes long. I can't do that. So then I go back through and I'm like, what can I shorten? For my Fiction 2 film, If You Die, I Kill You, like there's this montage where like the mom does a series of petty things to stop the daughter from going. But when I first wrote it, I didn't say she did a series of petty things to stop her from going. I explained each one in detail. But then looking back, I'm like, they don't need to know all that. So that helps me. And then also practicing a lot helps me because I don't usually have an issue of public speaking, but I do have an issue of when I get nervous, I ramble. So if I need to have it in my head. So if I'm nervous, I already know it like the back of my hand. So Fiction 1 and Fiction 2, I made my lovely roommates listen to me practice pitching. And that was helpful because like they are not filmmakers. They are all STEM majors. So it was like, if they can understand it, the film people can understand it. And I made them listen to it a bunch. And they were also helpful because they were like, this part's a little confusing, or like, you spoke a little fast here. So I just practice a bunch. And I do want to give a shout out that I've never used it, but I know a couple people who go to the speech labs. You can practice giving a speech that'll give you feedback. So that can be a good resource if your roommates are not as nice as mine and don't want to listen to you ramble about your film. We have all pitched, as we have discussed, but we also have all seen other people pitch. So I think I want to open the floor now as a citizen and a voter of film classes. What do you guys look for in a pitch? What have you seen in a pitch that is like, red flag, I'm not voting for it? To get the ball rolling, people being excited for a film is always a plus for me. If someone's excited about a film, I'm like, if you're excited, I'm excited. I don't know anyone who pitches who isn't a little nervous, even if they seem like they're on top of the world. But like, if someone's just mumbling and like being nervous the whole time, it's, I don't know if I want you as a director if like you can't pitch for 5 minutes.
For me, when I'm like, I'm sure I have noticed this in pitches, but I can't say for sure because I can't read other people's minds. For me, it's like a pitch is only, every pitch I've done is you only get 5 minutes. Like we talked about that. And there's all this stuff I want to convey in 5 minutes. So I'll be in my room practicing my pitch out loud with a timer or something and saying everything I think I want to say. And it's like, I've got it down to almost like a script, right? I've got exactly what I want to say. I'm going to say all this stuff. Everyone's going to get it. They're going to understand the vibe I'm going for. And then when you actually get up there and you're in front of people, it's like that goes out the window and it becomes just like, all right, let's just say what I remember. And I'm very grateful and fortunate and lucky enough to have gotten picked both times that I pitched for Fiction 1 and 2, but I know for both pitches, there was stuff that I had originally wanted to say that I just didn't say, because it's not even that I ran out of time. Like, I think Metal's pitch was like 3 minutes or something, because I just get nervous and I just start rushing through everything I want to say that I just forget stuff. And it's just like, that can't just be me, right? Like, there's got to be other people pitching who practice it for so long, practice it over and over, have a script down in their head, but then they get up there and the nerves just start to take over and then it becomes a rush. You're forgetting everything you want to say, and maybe you leave out important bits, like ending a pitch and then it's, oh, I wanted to mention this thing and I just didn't get to it, because it's like having that tire is stressful, man. The clock is daunting and I dread it, but it's important too, because it's, if you can get in everything or mostly everything you want to say in 5 minutes, then it's a good pitch. Then you've got your story condensed into 5 minutes, got everything you're passionate about in just that little amount of time, so that's good too. But that's just what I've noticed in myself, and I'm sure everyone else has been like that, so.
I think there is such thing as over-preparing. I have definitely realized in the few times I've pitched that if I over-practice, if I over-time myself, then when I get up there, I have a tendency to panic more, because then I'm not saying exactly what I thought I would say. There's like a list of 5 things that you're supposed to say, or 4 things, which is, you say your name, say your writer, say what your story is, say why you want to tell it. And so just having a general idea of what those things are and like, okay, I have to hit these points, but everything else in between, I can practice a little bit and then we'll just see what happens. So I just be prepared, but don't be so prepared that when you get up there, you're panicking, at least for myself. But when it comes to watching people pitch and stories that I've voted for, I definitely think that I'm watching to see if they're passionate, like we said. Even if they're quiet about it, if they seem to have a really big familiarity with the story, if they understand why people are doing things or why this thing is happening, what their goal is with the story, that definitely gets my attention. Oh, they understand. They are focus. They know what they want, even if they're a more quiet or soft-spoken person. If they tend to ramble or not really know what they're doing, or be like, I don't know what's going to happen at the end, or I don't really have the script written, or things like that, that is a red flag for me of maybe I shouldn't vote for them because they don't seem to know what they want.
I want to add on to what you said, because I feel like for me, a big thing is feasibility. If Cam had pitched, I want to make a film with 600 demons fighting each other, I would have been like, love you, Cam, but no way that's happening. You really have to, like, know your angle and kind of, like, pitch your film. For me, with Babel, like, we had one of the locations was, like, the character's mind, and it was this giant box made out of paper. And I knew that when I pitched, I was going to be asked, how am I going to make this? So I made sure I had a plan, because I'm like, if this doesn't seem feasible, I'm not going to get picked. Our Fic 1 class, there was a pitch that was pretty solid, and then we got to the Q&A, and someone asked, like, where do you want to film this? And they said, oh, probably the sand dunes. And this was during the winter semester, and you could just immediately see the whole class was like, nope, that's going to be cold and miserable. So stay true to your story, but you just got to think how you want to pitch. Like, I also remember I heard one pitch where I knew the script had 5 location changes, but when the person pitched, they were strategic and did not mention that because they knew that would be like a detractor. So I would say, like, with pitching, it's like, how realistic does this seem? And again, like, that doesn't mean I don't vote for ambitious films, because I have, but it's, is this feasible? Can this be pulled off of our resources, times, and also what time of the year it is? If you want to make a movie about a beach party, maybe don't pitch that in the winter semester. It's going to be miserable.
We're taking a short break to tell you about the Dirk Koenig Memorial Film and Video Scholarship. Here's Gretchen Vinich remembering Dirk Koenig.
The Koenig Scholarship enables students to get that kind of an education, to be a good filmmaker, to be able to express their voice, and to continue Dirk's dream.
For more information and to donate to the scholarship, visit the link in the description. Now back to the show.
I definitely 100% think it's very important to stick to your story, stick to what you want to tell. But I think there's a lot of importance in being open to creative feedback and mentioning that in your pitch. I feel like it can get dangerous if someone's pitching and they make it obvious from the get-go that, like, this is the story I want to do. I will not waver. Like, I've thought about this so much. I think it's important to be attached to your script, but not so glued and attached to it that you can't change some stuff. Like, for example, when I first pitched Reach, it was like $50,000 production. The script I had in mind had like 4 characters. Okay, for the record, I still think we could have pulled it off. But Joel pointed out, like, yeah, this is like too much. And it was. So it started with 4 characters that were completely different from what it ended up being. It was 4 characters and it turned into just 2 characters, just 2 brothers. The story completely changed. The ending completely changed. A bunch of production design completely changed. But the one thing I'm proud of with that is, even though it changed so much, I think in my head, the original vibe that I was going for, that still came across. We changed story stuff to make it make sense, which definitely made it better, I think. But we still stuck to the main theme that I pitched, which was like a analog horror short kind of thing. So of course it's important to know your script, love your script, but I say definitely be open to feedback and be open to changing some stuff. It will really only help.
I feel like that's the fine, because you're not just pitching your story, you're pitching yourself as a director. Like, the director really is a driving force, or if the director's not on top of it, it trickles down. But I feel like the Q&A too, especially in like Fiction 1, where you don't really know all the people there, like, it tells you who they are, because I agree with you, it is a red flag if it's like every time someone's, oh, have you thought of doing this for the ending? They're like, no.
Yeah.
But also in the same vein, you don't want to be like, oh, have you thought about this for the ending? They're like, I don't know, it could be or it could not be. I don't really know. Like, the ending could be whatever. So I feel like I agree with you, it is a green flag if someone's, oh, I haven't thought of that. I would consider that, because people have to work with you for a whole semester.
Yeah, and like that also gets people excited about making it, because then you get cool, like-minded people around you that just want to help you make this thing as best as possible, and then they're excited to like give you that creative input and help out. And so taking that creative input, taking that collaboration is how you meet these cool people who just want to make cool stuff with you.
The Q&A I do think is very important too, because it also gives you an idea as a writer of if people are getting what you're saying and also if they're interested in what you're saying. I think too, when I'm picking people, I watch the way they pitch, but I also watch the way they respond to questions. If they're responding in a way that they seem like they know what they want and what they're doing, or if they're being defensive about the questions, like you were saying, no, I don't want to do that at all, that's not what I want. Those signs of lack of flexibility, or if they seem a little confused about what they want, sometimes it works out. If they are like, I don't know what I exactly want, but I want to build this with people. Sometimes if you are passionate about what you want and you're willing to build with people, sometimes you'll get some interest. But again, having that familiarity with their story, but also just try to be a nice person. Try to be open to feedback. I know feedback is the hardest thing in the world to take, but if people are asking you questions, they're usually more likely to pick you. I know when I've pitched in the past, every time I finish a pitch, I always know how well I did based on how many people are asking me questions, because that means they want to know more. I would argue the Q&A is as important as the pitch when it comes to that.
Your reputation as a person also definitely impacts votes, because film, and especially like just the arts, is all connection based. Like, you get work because, oh, I'm friends with so-and-so and I was on a set with this person, let's bring them on. So I want to warn to the future generations that, like, in our fiction 2 class, there were definitely some people who pitched who I, like, before they even said their idea, I'm like, you're not going to get picked to direct because, like, you weren't nice to someone in the last class, or, like, you didn't show up on time. I've seen people who, like, say, oh, like, I'll take it seriously when I'm a director. People don't forget the person who, like, forgot the tripod in Media 1 or corrupted the SD card in, like, an editing class. So I really want to remind people that even if you don't get picked, be a good person, be a respectful person, do your job, because people remember that kind of stuff, and that impacts how people vote, and even in a good way, too. It's like, oh, like, so-and-so, like, was such a lifesaver on this one set, I'm gonna vote for whatever they vote for. So I don't think it's the only factor, but I think it is a factor.
Oh, for sure. I think you don't have to be friends with everyone, but you have to have enough professionalism and respect to at least get along. And I think when people pitch, if you've had a bad experience with them or you've heard things, that definitely can influence. But I do think, too, it's important to keep in mind that people are human. They make mistakes. Things happen. Maybe they were having a bad day on that set day. Like, what do I know? So while I do think that could be a swaying factor, if these people seem to genuinely be trying to do better and improve and make up for their mistakes, I think that definitely can also influence who gets picked. Because if they see that you're growing as a person and you're still trying to get better, and you're not just like sitting and you're like, rah, everyone just hates me and I can't get better and it's them, then like that attitude is so easy to spot and definitely something that discourages people.
There's so many factors, so many things. So what is your biggest advice to someone like, you didn't get picked, what do you do going forward?
Yeah, that can be really demoralizing. It can be really hard. But we're in an industry where getting told no is very common. It's going to happen a ton. Getting used to that and developing that thick skin is helpful. But I always think it's good to try to find the positive. Like, I didn't get picked in Fiction 1, and I pitched, and I was like, I don't think I did well in that pitch, but I can hope I get it. And then I didn't get picked, and that was okay. But a perk to that is that meant I got to work on one of my friend's films. It's called What's in Our Son's Room, which is about these two parents trying to decide what to do with their son, who's turned into a monster. So I got to help him do that project, and I got to help him grow as a writer and a director, and I got to watch other people grow. And if I had gotten picked, I wouldn't have necessarily gotten that experience. So there was my perk in that. The other thing is, give yourself a couple days to mourn it before you start doing anything. It's okay to be sad that you didn't get what you wanted, but also recognizing, like, this doesn't make or break you as a person or your career or anything. Recognizing that, but being okay with feeling your emotions before doing anything. And also just thinking about what you could do to improve. Not what did I do wrong, but what can I practice to get better? So in Fiction 1, when I pitched, I rambled so much. I don't know if I actually told the story at all. Yeah, I think I barely remember what happened. I was so nervous. And so I was recognized that. And so when I pitched in Fiction 2, I was writing that story before the semester even started. I was working on it. And then when I went to pitch, I made my pitch deck. And then I wrote down the key things that I knew I had to say, even if I forgot to say them. But just remembering those things and knowing, okay, I need to prepare in this way this time. And then the third thing that I did is also just knowing yourself when you're presenting. I know I'm not super good about eye contact when presenting, and sometimes people think that if you're not looking at them, that you're not as confident. And so I had to figure out, what could I do to make it look like I'm confident without stressing myself out trying to look at each individual person's eyes? And so I figured out, oh, I can look over their heads at the wall and it looks like I'm looking at them, but then I don't have to stare at people and forget what I'm saying. It makes me feel better if I have something in my hands when I'm pitching. And someone actually gave me this great advice that I do every time now. If you hold a pencil in your hand, it makes you look more intellectual, but it also gives you something to hold. So now whenever I pitch, I hold a pencil because then I have something to hold and I can also just have it to fidget with. Now that can go wrong if you drop the pencil, but
in theory, it's a great idea.
trying to refine what you can do to be better, but also looking at yourself and thinking, like, what do I as a person need in order to be successful in doing this? Because everyone pitches a little differently. Everyone has a different way of talking, a different way of telling their stories. They think certain things are more important than other things. Like between writers, Cam is like, I want to make something cool. And I'm like, I want to destroy your emotions. I'm just kidding. But I want to make you feel something. And so for me, that would mean I want to figure out how I can display that emotional context in a way that gets people's attention. And then just knowing yourself, what are things you need to be successful? Do I need to hold a pencil and not drop it? Or things like that.
I also think if you don't get picked to pitch, maybe this sounds corny or something, I don't know, but there's always a chance. Have your pitch in the back of your mind. For example, I was out at like a wealthy theater showing for something, and I saw someone I knew. He was in the film program, but didn't really know him, and just got to talking. This was before filming Metal, so this was like a couple months ago now. And just out of nowhere, he's like, what are you making? Give me your pitch right now. I was like, oh, okay. And then I'm like on the spot, and I'm like, okay. And I did. I tried to the best of my ability, just because I had it still fresh in my head. Like, yeah, it's about this guy, his girlfriend driving through the woods, and then there's this demon, and I'm giving him my pitch. But there could be a time where you're put in a situation with someone who wants to make movies and wants to make movies with you, and they're like, give me your pitch, and you have something, and they're like, that's such a good idea, I'll help you make this thing. And then you're just making movies with friends. Just having something, even if you don't get picked to pitch, just having something you're passionate about, having something you want to make, if that's what you want to do, is good to have in the back of your mind.
Yeah, and the kind of bouncing off of that, this is kind of like Caitlin pitching to her roommates. I think the more you talk about your idea and the more you, as you say, pitch it to people or just say it to random people, the more you will be confident in your story and the more you will be able to tell it to people. Whether you're watching their body language or seeing when they check out of when you're pitching, just the more you say it, the more confident you are in what you are trying to say on your piece and the more you are able to effectively communicate that when you are pitching.
To close us off, I'm going to ask everyone, what is your biggest piece of advice you would give to someone who wants to pitch? I think I would say you have to be like your own biggest cheerleader and just believe yourself and do it. I pitched, I like went to someone I really respected and I told them my idea and I was trying to get some feedback. And they told me it made no sense and that no one would vote for it. And I was devastated. I went home and I like questioned my whole life choices. And I almost didn't pitch, but then I was like, no, like this is a story like I really believe in. And I want to make the film my younger self never had. Because again, it was about like my struggles with anxiety. And then I went and I pitched and I got picked. But like, if I had listened to that naysayer, I wouldn't have. Even if other people don't get your idea, just pitch. You don't lose anything from just trying. And like, you never know. And not every story is going to be for everyone. Not everyone's going to get every film. But just go for it and pitch, because you never know what's going to happen. So that's my advice, which is just be your own hype person and just go and do it. And don't worry about what anyone else thinks. Because all that matters is that you went out and you tried.
Yeah, going off of that, I know we mentioned it before, but like, if you're just passionate enough about your script, it will come through in the pitch. And that's what I look for in a pitch. And if you really believe in yourself and believe in your script and your story, and you really just want to make this thing, people can tell that you just really want to make this thing and you're going to make this happen because you're passionate about it. That will come through regardless of your story. Passion will come through.
Yeah, the first thing I would say is what Caitlin said, you lose nothing by pitching. For my shy people out there, just put yourself out there, go for it. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, the world's not going to explode and become an apocalypse if you don't get picked. It just means, okay, it's not my turn. What can I do? How can I improve? Don't let your fear stop you from doing that. And also, I think, too, this kind of ties into not getting picked or being afraid to get picked. But if you are worried people are not going to get your idea, that's okay. Your ideas don't have to be for everyone. You just have to sell one person in the room or a group of people in the room just so that they will give you a chance. Or if you feel like you don't have something to say, I guarantee you have something to say that someone else will be interested in.
All righty. Thank you guys for being here today, and good luck to anyone who's pitching after listening to this.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Alumni Live, the podcast. Subscribe to our podcast to hear more from our alumni across the industry. Check out Alumni Live on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube for more conversations and networking. Let us know what topics you want to hear our alumni talk about. The Grand Valley State University Film Video Alumni Network is here for you, and we're glad that you're here. Thank you for listening.